Being a telephonist is a vocation that many blind people have taken up over the years, and they've done it very well. In recent times, however, changing technologies has made taking up that vocation more of a challenge. Adaptive Innovations seeks to address the balance. Their director of sales and marketing is John Cook, and he joins us now. One of the issues, I think, for the blind and vision impaired who've traditionally done very well as telephonists is that technology seems to have passed them by in recent times, and those jobs are harder to do. It sounds like your company is determined to change that situation.
Yeah, we looked at the overall broadest spectrum of where we could create the most employment, and being in the telephony business, we just knew inherently that this was a product under development that would make a very vast change in the employment for the visually impaired.
Can you tell me about the problem before we talk about your particular solution? Why is it that it's now become harder for blind and visually impaired people to do the telephonist thing?
So one of the problems, for example, if you are a receptionist with a company, one of the things you need to know is who's calling, who actually is on the phone before you pick it up. Is it an internal call coming from someone within the company? Is it an external call coming from somewhere within the community? Or is it a long-distance call? So this is the kind of information that prior to picking up the phone you'd like to know. And a person who is not visually impaired, of course, has all this information available to them in the LCD window of a normal, everyday business digital telephone.
What have you developed to try and make that information available to people who don't have the advantage of seeing the regular visual display then?
Well, what we've done is we've created a piece of software that was developed to basically integrate with JAWS by Hinterjoyce. And how it actually works is that there's a serial connection created between the physical telephone sitting on the desk and the back of the computer also on the desktop. And from that point, what happens, the information from the telephone is now received via the computer. And our software processes the information and puts it into a small box on the screen of the PC, which allows JAWS to either put it out in Braille or in sound so that the visually impaired person now has full access to whatever was being displayed on the telephone.
Are there some digital systems that don't have a serial connection, or are you pretty safe in saying that they should work with pretty much any digital system on the market?
For the most part, most normal business digital phones can accept the serial connection. Although, generally speaking, it's an extra module that has to be purchased from the actual phone vendor where the phone came from. So in other words, if you were to look at the back of a normal, say, Lucent or Meridian business telephone, you wouldn't see that there is the capability to create that serial connection. But if you call Nortel or Lucent or Siemens, for example, there's a module available that snaps either onto the back or underneath the phone that now allows that physical connection to be made.
How does it work in practice then? When a call comes through, if somebody's, let's say they're doing some typing in Microsoft Word, if they're in a receptionist's role, and a call comes through, does it immediately pop up and interrupt the application that you're in with the pertinent information?
I'm glad you asked that question, because there's several settings that the end user can actually invoke. What you've just described is what we call interrupt mode. For example, if you're in a word processing document, and the phone rings, you'll get a screen pop, you'll get the information of who's calling or what the status of that telephone event is, and as soon as you've handled it, your cursor will go right back to where it was in the word process document. It doesn't interfere with the work that's being done.
And what kind of information will it present the caller, or the receptionist rather, with at the time that information pops up?
It will tell them where the call came from, whether it's an internal or an external call, whether it's a long-distance call by the number of numbers, you know, within the dial string that you're reading. It will give the name of the party that's calling. Actually, any information that is shown in the LCD window of the digital phone will be mirrored for the visually impaired person through our software.
Does this have any application in a call center environment, Or would that be a different kind of application? I'm just thinking of a situation where you might be working in some, so let's say, a social security type environment, where when someone rings up, sometimes these days there's a data match that goes on between the telephone number and then a whole lot of other information pops up magically on the screen that tells you who the client is and what their history is, that kind of thing.
Well, we do have a solution for that, for the full call center also. We actually have two products. One specific to the call center, which you basically just described, where there's a lot more information that is needed by a call center agent, and that is called Braille Stream for Call Centers. The other product is that we were describing prior is Braille Stream LCD, which is they handle the data from a normal business phone. But in the typical call center scenario, you're absolutely correct. A lot of the information that you need to do your job is displayed on a reader board on the wall. And we take that information, and again, using JAWS as the output device, we can present it either in sound or in Braille. So we have two distinct products for those two distinct applications.
That's excellent. I'm just wondering how easy it is for, let's say, a speech user to absorb all of this information that will be coming through Braille Stream for the call center at the same time as they're interacting with the call, because you're trying to carry on a conversation and there's probably, in many cases, quite a lot of information that's coming through that you have to absorb at the same time.
There's actually going to be three separate series of speech that a person is going to have to be absorbing. The first one, of course, is actually listening to the client who's on the phone. In the second instance, is getting the information from the application. For example, if they were to call into Social Security Administration, they would input a certain amount of information, and the client would be asking a question about their account. They have to go into that application to be able to answer the client question. And at the same time, they would be receiving data from the PBX or from the ACD, which is the information that's normally shown on the reader board. How we get around that is by using dual-channel headsets, so that functionally what happens is, in one ear, the person, the agent, can be listening to the client, getting the information that they require from the database or the application in the other, and thirdly, we've chosen to take another voice altogether and combine it with the application voice, but it's so different in terms of listening to it, that you can sort of tune it out, because at that moment in time, when you're dealing with a client, you really don't need to know how many calls are waiting for you, or, for example, what the service level is. So we've chosen a voice which is a rather peculiar grading voice, so that you know when you're listening to this, you can tune it out and ignore it for the time being. On the other hand, we give you the option, because we hold this data in a buffer, that after you've completed your call and helped your client, you can go back and listen to the last 9 messages of statistical data that were given to you.
Have you had any feedback from call center operators, those who actually run the call centers, as to how receptive they are to trying this technology? Because I can imagine, if you've never used it before and you don't understand how effective a blind person can be with speech synthesis or Braille, they might kind of look at this technology and think, gosh, this is going to be a productivity slowdown, and therefore we don't want to bother. But what's the reaction been like?
The reaction has been very, very positive. And the truth is, in actual usage, in an actual real operating call center scenario, a visually impaired person is every bit as effective and efficient as a sighted person.
JAWS for Windows is the screen reader that you've based all this on. Is that because it needs to be heavily dependent on the scripting language? There's a lot of advantage of that taking place?
No, although that is a distinct advantage, because software can be tailored to any application. But originally our thinking was that we wanted to make our output available both in sound and in Braille. And at the time, JAWS was the obvious answer to that dilemma. Now, I should preface that by saying we can work with other screen readers, but we chose to develop against JAWS strictly for the reason that the person actually using our software had the choice of how they wish to receive their output.
Of course, you have window bridge manufactured in Canada, and also there is WindowEyes, which now has Braille support and is quite popular. Are you looking at expanding the screen readers you support, or is it simply a resource issue that you've got to do one very well to ensure that there's quality for the customer?
We've tested against GW MicroEyes. We've actually tested against ZoomText and several others on the market. As long as we know what the installation is going to be, we can configure our program to conform with them. The other thing is, too, screen magnification is a major thing. And we've worked with major screen magnification companies because it's not always necessary to have the information through a screen reader and sounder and Braille. A lot of times screen magnification is what's required. So actually, there is the three choices of output: magnification, Braille, and or sound.
If someone has the ability to use Braille, would you say that it is a significant advantage if equipment is being procured for that person, for them to have access to Braille in this sort of environment? Does it make it a heck of a lot easier or not necessarily?
It doesn't necessarily make it easier, but it is, it's using another tactile sense to assimilate some of the information. So for example, if somebody was a very fast speed reader in Braille, it would work to their advantage in many ways. One of the things that we do with a refreshable Braille display, and what we do in a call center, is we recommend an 80-cell display. The first 20 cells of that Braille display we devote strictly to statistics. So if somebody's dealing with Mrs. Smith at the Social Security Administration, they can totally ignore the first 20 keys and at the same time delve into the database using the next 60 Braille cells for the information that they require to handle that transaction. So we tried to make it as easy as possible for both the user in sound and in Braille.
What kind of price are we looking at for this technology?
Well, for the standard business phone, the BrailleStream LCD, which is basically applicable to any type of business, we're looking at $1,500.
That's U.S. dollars?
That's U.S. dollars, correct.
Mm.
And that's based on one single site license. However, if we're dealing with a company who's looking at multiple stations, well, then we can obviously quote on the basis of, you know, a site license that would encompass many users.
How about for the call center version?
That's a difficult one to put a price to because there's so many variables. For that, we need to know what is the application, how much scripting is involved, what is the PBX, what is the nature of the information that is currently being displayed on the reader board. But to give you a general ballpark, it's considerably more involved in terms of cost of the LCD version. It would generally run about for the first seat, and we refer to, you know, call center agents as occupying a seat. The first seat would generally run at around $7,500 U.S. But there's a one-time cost associated with that, and that would be approximately $6,000 for the server component. But once that's in place, then other agents can be added much more economically because the server components are only a one-time cost.
How does this get installed or configured? Let's say a really extreme scenario that I hear about your product here in New Zealand and I get offered a job in a call center. Is it the sort of thing that a well-qualified assistive technology expert could install on their own, or does someone from your company have to come and look at the installation and configure it?
Well, ideally, what should happen is we would go through a distributor in New Zealand, and that party would be trained to do the installation and to do the support for our product. But for the first unit, in any event, we would come and physically do it.
And then if I got a job at another call center, let's say I've been working there for 6 months or something and really successful and I got lured away with a better offer, how easily transportable is this technology?
Unfortunately, it's not transportable at all. Because for the BrailleStream call center to work, there is a server component, there are physical connections to the PBX within that call center, it's not a portable issue at all.
Yeah, and there can be so many differences, I guess, in configurations and things. Are there any other challenges that you're currently working on that you can tell us about? What are other frontiers that you feel still need to be conquered for access to this newer technology by blind and visually impaired people?
Well, what we're looking at now is developing against the ISDN telephones that are coming into vogue, particularly in North America. We're looking at being able to install our products against all of the major mainstream phone systems that are currently available. And in Europe, that would mean Ericsson, for example. We're already totally conversant and can integrate well against Siemens. But basically, there are so many different types of phones out there that our mandate right now is to be able to offer, an immediate solution off the shelf to as many as possible so that we don't have to get involved in, custom engineering for any of the mainstream systems.
That sounds excellent. If people would like to know more about your company and the technology as it develops, there is a website. Can you tell people about where that is and what information is available on the site?
Our website address is www.adaptiveino.com, and that's adaptive, adaptiveino.com. And the information on our product is well displayed on the website. Also, I have some documentation and a PowerPoint that I can send out if anybody would like to request it. That can be done through sending me an email. And my email address is jcook, J-D-O-O-K, at Trango, T-R-A-N-G-O, soft, S-O-F-T, all one word, .com. And I'd be glad to send out a PowerPoint which has not only the information on both of the BrailleStream products, but also the business case of why a call center should definitely look at hiring visually impaired people for becoming an agent within their organization.
Well, I wish you all the best. This really does have the potential to once again make an industry that was causing considerable difficulty for us, technologically speaking, accessible again. So keep up the great work, and we'll look forward to keeping in touch.
Well, I thank you for the opportunity.